Hi, I'm Leanne Kim, and this is The Business of Thinking Big, the podcast where we talk all things business mindset, strategy, and hustle. So, if you're looking to grow your revenue, serve more dream clients, and create amazing new possibilities, then you, my friend, are in the right place. Stay tuned. Well, hey there, and welcome to another episode of The Business of Thinking Big. I'm your host and business coach, Leanne Kim, and joining me today is an amazing client of mine. She's the founder and CEO of Luxury Move Management. Please welcome Mindy Applebaum to the show. Hi, Mindy.
Hi, Leanne.
I am so excited to have this conversation with you today.
I'm excited to see you too and to talk to you about this.
Isn't it crazy to think that we have been working together for like almost a year now?
And do you remember our first meeting where we were?
I do. I remember we were at my house, and what was going on at that time?
So that was the day the world shut down. March 13th, Friday the 13th, 2020. I was sitting on your couch and I remember the emails and texts coming in from my kids' schools and calls from clients. It was a crazy day.
Yeah, I remember feeling like, and had I not been with you on that day, I don't know if I would have noticed exactly what was happening, but because of the nature of your business and because you were getting contacted, and of course, your business was pretty profoundly affected by COVID, you know, people were getting in touch with you. And I remember thinking like, what is going on? And you're right, that was the day that announcements were made, the world started shutting down, borders started being closed that weekend, I believe. And who would have thought that's the start of our coaching relationship?
Yeah, exactly.
So before we go any further, why don't you tell everyone a little bit more about who you are, what you do, all that good stuff?
Okay, so I'm the owner of a company in Toronto called Luxury Move Management. We are what you call a full service move management company. So I invite your listeners to think about the last time they moved and everything they had to do and get in line and organize for their upcoming move. So my company, we facilitate all those logistics. We book all the services for them. We're on site to oversee everything. We're full service. So from start to finish, we prompt our clients on everything they need to do, options they could consider doing, you know, to keep their items safe during a move. And then we work with all the different trades to sort of bring it to fruition and to ensure a seamless and a stress-free move.
You really are a lifesaver, because I remember learning once that moving is one of the, what is it, the most top three stressful life events of all time or something like that?
Moving, divorce, and death. I'm right up there with divorce and death.
So it's safe to say that when people come to you, they really need you. I think you work with a lot of families that are downsizing or families that have to relocate. Sometimes it's due to, you know, unforeseen and unpleasant circumstances. So I can only imagine that it is a stressful job from time to time.
Yeah, the majority of our clients are actually the age of all the parents of your listeners. So I would imagine your listeners are the mamas. And I fall into that category. And if we think about who our parents' generation is and the stage of life our parents are at, that is the majority, not all, but most of our market are people in their 60s, 70s, 80s who are really leaving their forever home and downsizing into their final home, like a nice condo, a smaller house, something more manageable. And so they have a ton of stuff that they have to think about and deal with. And truth be told, their adult children, you know, you and me, We don't necessarily have the time or the patience, or we don't have the right dynamic with our parents to really sit there, roll up our sleeves, and do all the dirty work that needs to be done to downsize out of a large house.
And even if we had the bandwidth, I mean, who wants to do that work, frankly?
Exactly.
It's funny you should mention parents, because my parents went through this. It was about 4 years ago. They moved out of the home that I grew up in. They had owned it for over 40 years, and we begged them to source professional help. But no, they insisted in doing it themselves. And of course, guess who ended up doing a lot of it in the end?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, I'm lucky I have two siblings to bear some of the load with, but at the same time, it's such a brilliant idea, such a needed service. Tell me, like, how did you get started doing this?
Well, it's interesting. I didn't grow up with any specific passion or skill set that I always wanted to turn into a business. That just wasn't my upbringing. I was working at a job. This was about 6 years ago. I was at a job that it wasn't a good fit for me. I knew that. I think my employers knew that. I was just sort of putting in time until my second baby was due to arrive. And I was actually terminated from my job when I was 6 months pregnant with my second child. I have three kids now. And I was sort of thrust into unemployment with no possibility of job searching due to my pending delivery. So that was a lot of fear and stress on my own mind, and I'm sure that of my husband's. We had just moved into our house, and I always intended to be a full-time working mom. It was something I always wanted to be doing, and suddenly that was taken away from me. So that fear lit a spark in my mind that led me to explore starting my own business. And I remember calling my brother, he's a mentor of mine. I remember calling him and saying, let's brainstorm what business I can start. And we were going through my skill set and my interests, and I was embarrassed. I just couldn't come up with anything. And then through watching hours of endless HGTV, you watch those home renovation and shows about people renovating and moving, it's like a light went off. Something hit me as in, wait a minute, how do those people move in and out of those houses with those young babies on their hips? They're moving out for a renovation. Like, who's doing all the packing? It just sort of wheels started turning in my mind. Next thing you know, I was typing up proposals at night thinking, what would my business look like? What services would I offer? And like many businesses, once you start something, it evolves over time and you start adding services because your clients tell you they need those services. So what started as I was going to help people pack when they were moving turned into, well, now can you help me get rid of all the furniture I don't need because I'm downsizing? And then so suddenly I was selling furniture for people online. They didn't know how to use Facebook Marketplace or Kijiji. So here I was posting all their furniture for sale. Then they needed unpacking and cleaning services. So now I'm cleaning houses. My team is cleaning and offering actual moving services. And then we're doing junk removal. I mean, it's just an endless list of services that people need when they're moving.
It's so interesting to me because I would say like 80% of the people that I talk to that have started a business, it's the other way around, right? There's something in them that's like, I'm just super passionate about this. But I love this like uber practical side of you that was just like, what is a thing that people need? And the thing that I am really the most lit up about, Mindy, is hearing you talk about as their needs evolved, so did your services. And you just kept serving them up the things that they kept saying that they were needing. It's so smart. And yet so many entrepreneurs are not building a business with their customers' needs in mind this way. I think that was one of the things that I really liked about you is like, yep, she is definitely onto something. And I think when we met, so you were a few years in, do you want to talk to me about where you were at a year ago? Because I feel like it's pretty different than the Mindy that I see today.
A year ago, I was far less polished in my business, I would say. The word polished, you know, everything in my business from my branding to my processes, my pricing, my pitch meetings to my clients. I was still trying to chase down every lead and convert every lead into a sale. I didn't have enough focus on who my target market was and how important it is to stay in that lane and service that market. I was trying to service anyone that might need my services, even if they weren't willing to invest in our services and invest in me. I'm the expert. They should want to invest in me. Look at all the experience I'm bringing to the table. But a year ago, if they weren't willing to invest in me, I found myself bending on my prices or on my practices to fit their need or to fit their budget. And it was in working through you that I recognized my own value, and I was able to now articulate that, and I can articulate it confidently, and I can put a price tag on it. It's a fantastic place to finally be in a business, because now if a client meets with me but subsequently doesn't hire me because they can't afford me, I don't feel bad about it because I know they'll find the service they need that they can afford, but I can continue offering my high level of service to those clients that do want to invest in me.
Oh, you know, I love a good transformation story. I love a good makeover story. And What I probably haven't shared with you as much is that the story you just shared is super common. There are elements in your story that I have heard so many times over, so much so that, Mindy, in a few weeks, when you get a copy of my book in your hands, you're going to read a story under the joyful customers chapter. You're going to read a story and you're going to be like, it's like she was channeling me. And I tell a story of a fictional character, but it pulls from a lot of clients that feeling like we need to be all things to all people. And that if we don't, they're going to go somewhere else. And, you know, all that stuff is just in our head. So I'm grateful that we had the opportunity to do that work. And I mean, the other thing too, is it's in your name, Luxury Move Management. That word alone says right there, I am not for everyone. And that's okay.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
So that's where you were a year ago. The reason why I asked you that specific question too, I remember when we were doing our strategy jam day together, I remember you were on your phone a lot. I remember you were texting back and forth to different people who needed you. And I remember you looking up at me and saying like, is this normal? Is everybody so needed in their business the way I am? I feel like I always have to be attached to this thing. Do you remember that moment?
Absolutely.
And I think it's something that a lot of business owners don't realize they've found themselves in these patterns. Do you want to talk to me a little bit about that piece and how you sort of decided it was time to start acting more like the CEO and less like the woman attached to the phone? I guess is the best way to say it.
Yeah, this was so pivotal in how I run my business. There was a long period of time where every time I got together with my family, I'd notice my family members making eye contact with each other about me being on my phone the whole time. And I would apologize and I'd say, I'm sorry, but I run my own business. I have to be like this. And through talking with you and working with you, I realized I'm the CEO and the founder. I don't think my clients are expecting the owner of the business to be so accessible and responsive on these little logistics that are being coordinated, that perhaps it's better suited for an admin role or someone else, an employee that I'm paying to be responsive to these inquiries. And that was a really big shift because I was in the weeds running my business. I was too hands-on. My personality, my A type, was trying to micromanage every project that I had on the go. And to give you context, at any given time, I have between 20 and 25 clients that I'm working with at a time, coordinating their move. Some moves are happening next week. Some moves are happening 4 months forward. And for every client, I'm trying to manage anywhere from 3 to 10 different moving logistics for them. So that's why I was on the phone so much. It was just the sheer volume. I realized through working with you that my time is better spent working on the business. So what I was able to do is find different ways and strategies to alleviate some of the expectation and the work that I had to be doing on a day-to-day basis and to transition that over to someone who is just as qualified and can handle it just as well as I can.
Ooh, music to my ears. And we're going to talk about some of those strategies in a minute, but I do want to sort of acknowledge here, you are in the real estate industry and it is a fast-paced industry with a lot of moving parts. So it's not as if you have just one client at a time. And then again, like you're not just working with clients, you're connecting with real estate agents, you're dealing with third parties. So there is a lot of moving parts. And it's not surprising to me that you found that you needed to be the one on the phone and texting and putting out fire. So, but I'm grateful that you can kind of look back on that and acknowledge like it was having an impact on your family life, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would answer the phone at any hour. I would respond to emails at any hour. And I thought that was just great business practice. But what I realized is that invites those people on the other end to continue engaging with me. And now their expectation of me is that, oh yeah, Mindy is available at 11:30 PM at night because she's responded already at that time, which is completely not appropriate.
You know what? It isn't appropriate, but it's so, again, it's super common. And I remember my early sales days. I remember one of the people that I looked up to in my industry, her name was Morgan. And she said, you train your own customers how to treat you. And if you answer every email within 30 minutes, that's what they're going to expect. And I feel like I passed that on to you at some point, but it's been beautiful to see you implement some of these changes. And I think the first major shift that I noticed as your coach was some of those mental shifts. So do you want to talk to me about some of those mindset pieces, the way that you sort of mentally viewed your role and what needed to change there?
Yeah, I was seeing myself as the only person that could competently complete a task in a timely manner in the right way. It's sort of, I've always thought if you want something done right, do it yourself. But I realized it's better to, you can always revise it if need be or adjust it if it wasn't done completely perfectly by the person that I delegated to. But I have to, with proper training, I can get her up or him up to my level of doing it the way I would do it. So I had to understand that there's other people that are able to do these tasks quite proficiently. And I needed to let go of that power and let them come into my business and help out.
It's such a powerful shift and easier said than done.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I think you manage this piece better than most people. I think most people will say things like, it's time to let go, I need to let go. And they'll even, you know, put those systems and processes into place. But you actually walked the talk. You actually did do quite a lot of letting go. Because I remember there was a time, I think we were about 6 months into working together and we did a Zoom call. And you looked drastically different on that Zoom call. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I definitely do. Yes.
Yeah. You had gone not only on a business transformation, but a bit of a physical transformation as a result. Do you want to share that?
Yeah. Since the coronavirus lockdown hit last March, the first month I sort of was at home wallowing with my three kids and, you know, my business had slowed right down almost to a halt. And it took a toll mentally on me as it did with, you know, many of my peers. But what I decided to do is I started listening to podcasts that were really about mental health and to get out and to start taking better care of yourself. So I embarked on a commitment to myself and to my health, and I have lost 50 pounds to date since last March. So in 11 months, I've lost 50 pounds in a very healthy way. It's walking every single day. No, 5 days a week, I go for a 40-minute walk, and I'm watching what I eat, and I drink lots of water, and that's it. I haven't been to a gym. I haven't stopped eating my favorite foods. I'm just much more mindful, and I put the focus back on me and my needs and my health because I realized that the success of every other thing in my life is going to be directly correlated to my own mental health and my own physical health. So the happiness of my children and the peace in my home and the success of my business is all attached to my own brain and my mental health. So I made that a priority above everything else starting last March.
It is so inspiring. And I also want our listeners to know, like, it's not about the pounds lost. It really is about that commitment to self. But I mean, like 50 pounds is no small feat. That's amazing. And what I think is really interesting too, it's a bit of a chicken and egg situation. I do think had you not started to let go of some of these business tasks that were bogging you down, you wouldn't have been able to prioritize your health. And because you prioritized your health, it had this amazing impact on your business life as well.
Yeah, it was all at once. I just realized that the hamster wheel I was on every day is not yielding me a happy, relaxed person when I hit the pillow at night. I was going to bed. My mind was racing. I was anxious. I felt like there was too many balls up in the air that were my responsibility. And I realized they don't all have to be my responsibility and things are going to be okay. And I just delegated some of those balls to other people within my business. And it was, you know, it evolved. I trialed and errored and figured out who can I give what tasks to. And I've been very proud of the results because I haven't had to take any of those balls back. I've delegated them out and they've been working seamlessly with, you know, a little tweak here and there. And the result is that I, you know, have more time in my day for me and for working on my business and for focusing on my kids. I turn off my ringer now at very specific times throughout the day where I don't hear any sounds. Sometimes I even take off my watch because my Apple Watch will buzz if it's near my phone. So if I really want to unplug, I'll also take off my watch and sit it over across the room with my phone on silent. So I really cannot get any notifications and it's been fantastic.
Wow, you are hardcore, Mindy.
That is part of my personality is if I decide to do something, it's pretty hard to kick me off course.
And would you say that investing in business coaching played a role in that? Because I have found that when people invest in themselves, all of a sudden they're like, okay, I'm in now, right? Like, it's getting real. I'm going to take this seriously now. There's something, I don't know. And I've noticed that about myself too.
The best part about you and I is that we had never crossed paths before in our life. You are so far removed from anything that was familiar to me in my life. We didn't grow up in the same city. You didn't go to summer camp with me. I don't know you through my Jewish connection network. You're not my target market. I haven't moved you before. So coming to you, who's completely third party outside of my network, you could offer me such a fresh perspective on how to run a business. It wasn't biased by your interest in my success, you know, from a personal relationship stance. It was so refreshing because I just didn't have anyone else in my life that I could turn to that wasn't in some way biased or have a different interest in my success or not success, really. So I love that I could come to you. Like, you had never even heard of the type of company I was running. I said, okay, let me try to explain it to you. Here's what I do. All the wisdom you bring to me is just so, it's just fresh. The best word is your fresh perspective.
Oh, well, that is such a nice compliment. I will take that. Mindy, thank you. I'm blushing a little bit. I like the word fresh too. It's one of my favorite words. I think there's a lot of people who are going to be listening to this and they're going to be saying, this woman sounds like this is a dream, but how did you actually do it? So when you start talking about delegating, the thing that I'm reminded of is people think about like, let's just get this off my plate. And I don't think you approached that way. I think you were very intentional. First of all, you're very intentional about who you will bring into your business. You're very intentional about giving them the right tools. So do you want to speak a little bit more about that HR piece and how that played a role in your shift to really kind of owning this CEO role that you've stepped into?
Yeah, great question. So to give the listeners an idea of what services, our core service is packing and unpacking. So people hire us when they have a large home or we work with a lot of pregnant women. They just can't pack their own house. So they hire us. I send in a team of fantastic women in uniform and they pack. So one way I was able to delegate and let go of the power is I said, okay, I have, you know, on average, 3 or 4 fantastic skilled women in my client's house at a time. What can they be doing that I had normally been doing? So I appointed one of them on site as a team leader. So from now on, that person is in charge of all staffing for that client. So I would explain to this team leader what the scope of the job was, how many people I think they needed. And then I would say the rest is up to you. If you want me to add more people for the second day of packing, or you think for the next day of packing, you only need 1 or 2 people to join you, you make that decision and you decide who to cut from that shift. And then if you need more people on the unpacking end, you decide, add them, and that's fine. I don't have to be prompted to deal with all the staffing. And then while you're on site, if you notice the client needs junk removal done or is worried that wants some stuff taken off the property, but you know, the closing date is happening in a day or two, communicate directly with our partners, book the service with my blessing, just let me know what's happening so I can make sure to add it to the client's invoice. So that was a big piece that I handed over.
Yeah. And I think it's a really smart one too, because up until that point, you felt very pulled into these projects. We sort of identified, you know, if we can create a project manager, think about this packing job as a project. If we can assign this project manager, I remember speaking to you about some of that. And how empowering was that for your people when they got, you know, tapped on the shoulder and said, guess what? Now you're no longer just packing. You're going to be leading the team. What did that look like?
They loved it. You can just tell that they liked the title. They liked the responsibility. They held their head a little higher knowing that I looked at them in a certain way and that I entrusted them. It was nice to see them.
I think that's one of the most joyful parts of being a business leader is the feeling of fulfillment and that feeling of pride that you get to instill in others. Because I think the one thing we forget when I work with a lot of people that have a lot of baggage around team and, you know, the old, oh, good help is hard to find. But I think when we empower people to take on a piece of our business and take ownership, the results can be pretty amazing. And we're giving that person a gift. We're really giving that person something that brings them joy and meaning too. So it's like this piece of our business that we didn't anticipate loving so much. But once you start to really step into that leadership role, it starts to become really compelling. And I think it also creates sort of a compound effect. I know that wasn't the only change that you made in your business when it came to, again, the human resources side of things.
Yes, I hired my first full-time employee. So the structure of my business is such that most of the people that work for me are part-time hired contractors. So everyone down to the person who was doing my Instagram posts, they're all paid per contractor. I decided to bring in someone that was a full-time person to help support me in running the business. What I did, one mistake I made, is that I hired a person who I knew I would love working with because of their personality and not because of their skill set or for what I actually needed in my business. So what I actually needed was an administrative role, an operations person that could do a lot of these tasks. I ended up hiring someone at a management level, having to pay a management salary, when in the end, I still just needed these admin type tasks to be done. So that was a great lesson I learned still early on in my business, that now I can take that lesson forward. And I've just actually hired my first full-time admin person, and she's starting with me next week.
Whee! I
was going to bring that up at our next meeting. I haven't told you that news yet. And it's basically what you and I spoke about at our last minute. We almost drafted up sort of a list of skills that person needed to have. And you told me, interview multiple people, which I did, and find the person best suited to complete those tasks in your business. Don't just go for the first person you meet that you think you'd enjoy working with.
Oh, yes. That is one of my favorites, that I don't know why people approach hiring that way. Like, who do I know that's within arm's distance that knows how to build a website? And this is one of the things that I'm very committed to changing, but I love that you took that to heart. And one of the things that I think has made you so successful, Mindy, is you are an action taker. Like I can even recall in coaching calls, you'll say to me like, Leanne, if this is the right thing, like I don't need to think about it. Like I'm going to go and do that now.
Yes. I'm a very decisive person. That's right.
I think that's a really strong quality of a CEO. I think you have to be decisive, and the universe likes speed, right? The universe likes when we take fast action, and it rewards us for that. So you talked about something too. I just want to circle back. I think once we start to get in the phase where we're hiring a team and we're training them up, there can be this feeling like, I don't want to mess it up, right? Or this thing that I'm building, it's going to be like this forever. And what you pointed out so beautifully is your team and your needs are going to evolve and change. And it's okay if you make a wrong hire. I mean, it's not everyone's favorite thing to do, but it's not the end of the world if you bring someone on and they're not a fit and you've got to let them go. So do you want to talk to that piece about sort of the making the hard decisions? Because I feel like that's what good CEOs have to do.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, you coached me through a layoff I had to do this year that was really hard for me because I had someone working for me who on a personal level I thought was fantastic and could see myself being friends with for many years. And I knew that person was quite qualified to be doing the work. Their skill set didn't match what I needed. They just weren't the right fit for the company. And I should have let that person go months earlier than I did. And you were actually encouraging me for many months to let that person go. But I had a personal connection with them and I didn't want to. But finally, I came to the decision that I had to do it. It won't ruin this person's life. Just like, hey, I was laid off 5 years ago from a job when I was pregnant. Look where I am now. And I kept that into perspective. This is going to be the start of something great for the person I'm letting go, and they'll one day thank me. And so I even called you for an emergency phone call over Christmas break. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
No, don't be sorry. That's my job.
I literally needed you. And we came up with a bit of a script and a process. You know, you told me how to lay someone off. Everything from make a list of all the passwords you're going to have to change 5 minutes before you call the person. That was very important advice. And then, you know, I called the person and it was much smoother than I expected. You know, we're both grown adults. Luckily, it was over the phone. I didn't have to, you know, go in face to face because we're still quarantining. But it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. We worked ourselves up and, you know, we work ourselves up to think it's going to be really hard to do. And when you're the CEO, as long as you keep focus on the fact that this is what is best for your business, it's a perspective that really drives every tough decision I have to make. as long as I'm certain that what I'm doing is best for my business, it lightens the load of having to make such a, you know, do a, something drastic like that.
Yeah. And nobody likes having to make those tough decisions. And honestly, like, it's not an easy thing to coach people through either. But at the same time, I am sort of that impartial person that you can speak to about this. And I also think, I love that you don't beat yourself up about this piece too. Most people that need to let someone go do wait longer than they need to. Sometimes it's months, sometimes it's years. And I will say time and time again, the feedback that I get and what I've experienced myself is it's never as bad as you think it's going to be.
Never.
Yeah. And that really is part of the growing pains you face when you move from, you know, a startup or a solopreneur business or your tight-knit team to something that is scaling beyond its origins. You're going to go through those growing pains. So can you tell me, as we sort of move to our conclusion here, I would love for you to share any final tips. Imagine you were to meet yourself a year ago, or even 2 years ago, someone who has a business, they're working around the clock, they feel tethered to their phone, they're the doer of all the things. What advice would you give to that person maybe that you haven't shared yet today?
It's important to remember that you are in charge of the trajectory of your business. You are the person driving that vessel forward, and you have to stay true to what's important to you and cut out the noise around you if it's not serving your own mission perfectly. For example, there are so many ways in which I can drive this business forward in so many different directions. I have people coming to me all the time with recommendations. Oh, Mindy, you should open up here. You should do this. You should sell here. You should start talking to mortgage brokers, and you should start doing this and that. And it's nonstop. And I could listen to them and say, okay, I'm going to write that down and start doing that next week. I'll start devising my plan to expand there and expand there. But that's not how I run my business, and that's not what brings me peace. Peace to me is I know where I want to be in 5-10 years from now. I know the quality of life I want to be able to live, whether it's have enough time to pick up my kids in the middle of the day from school or to take a sick leave if I have to stay home with the kid. I want to be responsible and be able to make those decisions and not be too busy working in all these different directions that other people have told me I should be doing after 5 years in business. Lots of people feel the pressure of expanding or growing, or, you know, if you're not growing, then you're going to fail. I'm just good. I'm good. Thanks everyone for your advice. Happy to hear what you have to say, but I'm in charge of this vessel, and it's important to not lose sight of your core values and what is going to make you happy in your business. Don't listen to other people, what they think, what your next step needs to be in the business.
Oh, that is such great advice. I meet so many people that feel so obligated to listen to that judgy older sister, or, you know, their parent who's not in the business, or a spouse who's got opinions. Like, it is tempting, but I love this idea of, like, if you can just tune that out, stay focused on what you're creating. I love the analogy of, like, it's your job to steer the vessel. So great.
Yeah. If I wanted to, you know, grow this company as fast as I could and, you know, sell it for $1 billion. I mean, yeah, I could start working around the clock trying to do all that, but then that would take away from time with my young kids. And that would mean that I can't lie in bed at night watching my favorite shows with my husband. Like, that's what's important to me. You know, as long as I'm making a certain amount of money that affords me the lifestyle that I want to live, then, hey, I'm good. I don't need to work around the clock and be completely stressed out trying to build this massive company, because that's what society makes me think I'm supposed to do when I'm running a successful company. Success to me is having enough, you know, money to pay for the things I want to pay, but also success to me is having the time to do my own thing. My 40-minute walk every day with the podcast in my ear, picking up my kids from school, turning my ringer off at 8:30 at night and just staring at a TV for the next 2 hours. That's success to me.
I think that's where you and I are very aligned is, yes, I want to be a success. I will always keep striving, but never at all costs and never at the cost of a quality life. And I think that's just, it's a great reminder right now, especially as a lot of my listeners are feeling pulled in a million directions. And I think a lot of our mamas out there are feeling like they need to be good at it, at all of it, all the time. I think there is a way to have a successful business and have a great life at the same time.
I call it successful enough. Like, I am successful enough that I get to live the exact life I want to, thank God. I don't strive for to be a multi-billionaire. What am I going to start doing differently? Maybe travel a bit more, but I don't necessarily need to live in a different city or a different house or a different neighborhood. You know, I'm thankfully very lucky and I'm happy where I live right now. So I keep perspective on that. And I consider myself very successful, even though I'm not by the world's definition of, you know, huge success, but I'm very successful to my own standards.
And I think that is such a key reminder, is that we can be grateful and happy with what we have and still be growing. Cause this is not the end for you. So I would love for you to share, if you feel comfortable, share some of your, what are some of your bigger goals? Like, what's next for Mindy and Luxury Move Management?
Yes. Yeah, so we have big plans to expand. So the majority of our clients come from referrals, mostly from real estate agents engage our services when they're getting ready to put a house onto the market. They need it decluttered and packed up and, you know, furniture moved out to storage so they can list the house. So we're looking right now, we're expanding to Oakville. There's, you know, lots of opportunity in Oakville and a little bit north also. So we're expanding, you know, we have clients now north of the city, Newmarket, Aurora, we're in Creemore, Caledon, Kleinburg, all through York region. And then, you know, we have some financial goals. We want to, you know, break $1 million in sales in the next 2 years. And that's something that I think is, we're well on our way. And I think it's a great goal for you and I to work towards.
Amen to that. I remember putting that bug in your not too long ago and saying, okay, I'm looking at your numbers, Mindy, and wonder when it is we're going to be shooting for that million.
I remember when you first said that to me and I was thinking, oh my goodness, that's a number I've never associated with myself before or my company, like $1 million. But then, you know, when you work really hard and you streamline your services and your practices, it suddenly becomes, you know, more attainable, more of an option.
Yeah. I think the word that comes to mind for me, I mean, yes, when I look at you, I really do see a true CEO, but the word that comes to mind for me when I think of what you've created is flow. You're very much in flow when it comes to your business. You're not chasing anything. You're not, yes, you still face challenges as we all do, but I just feel like you're in this really beautiful place where you've hit your stride. You know what you're great at. You understand your market deeply. You're ready to expand now to serve the places and the people that you want to. And I just want to celebrate that because I feel like so many of us spend so much time on that hamster wheel and so much time, you know, looking at the next challenge ahead of us and so little time taking a moment and really like breathing it all in. Like, Mindy, breathe it in, girl.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good with the flow of things while I still have young kids. I could see myself getting bored when they need me a little bit less and I have a bit more time to work on myself and my business. That's when I could see myself maybe taking another huge leap in the business. But like you said, the flow right now is good. I feel safe. It's manageable. And, you know, I want to keep it like this.
Yeah. You are scaling, but at a pace that makes sense for the business and for your life right now. And I really admire you for that. So,
And that's a lesson that I learned by way of a partner company of mine that I was sending a lot of business to. They were scaling at a pace they couldn't keep up with. And what tanked was their customer service. So they were growing so fast, they couldn't keep up with it. And suddenly I couldn't reach people. They weren't accountable. They were messing up a lot of my orders. And it just gave me such perspective. I never want to be like that. I want to scale at a pace where I can honor the core value of my company of fantastic customer service.
That is such a great perspective. And I hadn't thought about touching on that, but I think that is such a great nugget for my listeners to take in. Again, I just think there's something about, you know, societal pressures. And I think we feel like we have to be at a certain place by a certain point. I know a lot of entrepreneurs are like, I got to hit that million mark in my first 5 years. And I get it. But at the same time, you're right. Things are going to start to suffer. And customer service is one of those things. I heard this recently. I wish I could remember the source. They said, you want to go out and acquire more customers and acquire more customers? Basically, you want more customers that you can treat badly. And I was like, oh, that's so true. If you are not treating your existing customers well and retaining them, because you work with real estate agents who have the ability to bring you multiple bookings, multiple, you know, years in a row.
Yeah.
And what, you know, one bad customer service experience could have a lasting impact of tens of thousands of dollars in revenue, maybe more.
I think about that every day. And now, you know, with Google reviews and social media, I mean, they have us by the balls. Our clients could literally make or break the public perception of our company by what they could write about us or publish about us on, you know, Google reviews or social media. So my customer service is my number one core value, and nothing comes above that. Not making money. It's just so important, and I cannot lose sight of that.
That's a great reminder. I think everyone listening here is thinking, gosh, when was the last time I looked at our customer service? So, and it's something actually we're actively working on in my business this year, is we're highly focused on customer satisfaction and retention as well. So great reminders. And really, like, I just really appreciate you being willing to be open and honest and share the real journey, because it's not easy. What you've done is not easy, even though you have the sense of ease about you. What you've done is not easy. And yet it's really inspiring. I think you're going to help a lot of people with this episode. So thank you, Mindy.
Thank you for having me.
So before we sign off, how can people find out more about you?
I'd love to hear from people. Yeah, we're on Instagram. That's where we're most active. It's just at Luxury Move Management.
Beautiful. So we will link to that as well as your website in the show notes. Mindy, thank you so much for an incredible almost 1 year journey.
You're welcome.
And I look forward to seeing where you go next, my friend.
Okay. Thanks for your time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Business of Thinking Big. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. We would love it if you could leave us a review on iTunes, which will help more people like you find the show. And of course, you can learn more at leannekim.com.